Good morning. A little sprinkly out there this morning. Was it raining when you came in, Sam?
Yeah, it was. So I was not enjoying it.
It's that wiper morning where, like, you don't need your full wipers. But if you shut them off, then you're going to keep turning them on.
Or you just flick it up once to wipe
you
it
do.
Every so
or
often.
Or then you leave them on and it skids across and goes across the... It's that kind of morning. Well, welcome to Party Line on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7. Sam and Cindy in with you on a Tuesday morning. Shan, of course, this morning is up at the new ribbon cutting, the ribbon cutting for the new Clinton County Annex building. I think that started at 8 o'clock this morning. And so they were doing some tours up there, and so we'll have information on that. You can look at Clinton, Carroll, and Boone County Daily News.com. You're here in just a little bit, and we'll have pictures and things up about that. And then I think there was a commissioner's meeting this morning, I believe at 9 maybe. I think the regular meeting followed at 9 o'clock this morning. So, you know, I feel like we're going to hear some news today. So we'll see what happens with that. In the meantime, Party Line on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7 is presented by our friends at TC Trailers. If you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight. Encompass Credit Union, community-minded just like you. Marshan's Window Tinting in Antioch, they stick it where the sun shines. I don't think we'll see much sunshine today. I think we have more of a chance of showers this morning, but I don't think we get sunny. I think it kind of just stays blah,
yeah.
A little dismal. But, I mean, it's better than the S word, right? We don't say that word.
No, not around here.
Ivy Tech Community College, changing lives. Big O Tires in Lebanon, big deals. Save money now and 24/7 at WeLoveBigDeals.com. And Clinton Carroll, Boone County Daily News.com, your free local online newspaper. The online telecast you could be watching right now at HoosierlandTV.com. That's brought to you by 51 West Event Center, the Farmers Bank, Shoup's Country Foods, Culligan Water of Boone and Clinton County, Day and Ginda Funeral Home, Solidarity Community Federal Credit Union, Sam I Am Carpet Cleaning, Big O Tires in Lebanon, Arborwood by Shoup's, Welty Exteriors, Newell Gas, Wesley Manor Retirement Community, Stone Alley Hardware and Industrial Supply, the Community Foundation serving Howard, Clinton, and Carroll counties, Simplify Family Dental, Tornado Roofing, Siding and Gutters, Witham Health Services, and Town and Country Glass. You do have the forecast in your hand over there. What is it telling us for the day?
Well, we'll get some showers before 1 p.m. like we're seeing right now, and some scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon maybe. Some scattered showers tonight. Tomorrow, cloudy, a high near 50. And then Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we're seeing chances of rain throughout the rest of the weekend, heading into the weekend. So it's going to stay around the 40s and 50s, but we're going to get some rain.
So aren't you glad football season's over?
Amen to that, right?
All right, we'll talk sports here in just a little bit. In the meantime, we do have our first guest with us today. On the line is Gary Vierk, who is president of the Linden Depot Museum. Good morning, Gary. How are you today?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm ready to go.
You're ready to go. Are you getting a little rain over there as well?
Yes. A little bit.
All right. Does that affect anything that you guys have going on today?
Well, the open house starts the Thanksgiving weekend through New Year's weekend. So we're not open yet, but we're all ready to go.
All right. Well, tell us about that. What can visitors expect at this year's holiday open house?
Well, I'm president of the museum. I've been here for 16 years, and railroading is in my blood. I grew up in the North End in Lafayette. If you were a North Ender, you're part of the railroad community. My grandfather was was an engineer for 54 years, and my uncle was an engineer for 45 years. So it's in my blood. So
you weren't getting out of that, were you?
No. No. But it was good. The museum is it's a 116-year-old depot. The last junction depot left in Indiana. It served the Monon, north-south, Chicago to Louisville, and a nickel plate east-west, Toledo to St. Louis. So, it's original. It's not been altered, not been moved. And I think we have one of the best train museums in the state. So every year we decorate for the holidays, and we're decorated now. It's taking us 2 months to get ready. We have 14 Christmas trees in the museum right now. And it's all looking pretty good, and every year we have a different display in the exhibit in the baggage room of our museum. This year we have 10 Christmas trees with this display, and we are running 75-year-old Mark's trains. Mark's was the low-end train, and Lionel was the high-end. But Mark's still was very reliable, and they still run today. So it's I think if you should come out and see these old trains run. So it's pretty neat.
Oh, I think they're neat as well. You guys do a beautiful job over there, and I've driven by, and it's so neat when it's all lit up.
Yes. Now, in addition to in that room, we all have our annual ornament. Some people have collected all these ornaments. So a $10 donation, you get the ornament. We've got another prize to go with it. So it all helps the museum. I mean, we're a 501c3, not-for-profit. So, you know, that's the way we make our money. But anyway, it's that is good to see. But there's so much more in the museum. I mean, one thing I should say we acquired this year, we acquired a cabinet from the nickel plate yard office in Frankfurt. So that's on display there. It's not too exotic, but it is part of Frankfurt. So as you know, I should back up here and say, museum in Linden is only about 30 miles from Frankfurt. You just get on 28 and come right to Romney, take a left and go 3 miles and you're there. So it's not too far.
It's very easy to get to. It's neat you have a connection to Frankfurt as well.
Yeah, yes, we have Frankfurt items in there. I don't know if anybody's ever been in the old roundhouse or not, but there were wooden bricks on the floor there. All wood, and they have a little bit of a curve to them to make the curve for the roundhouse. And I got a half a dozen of them out of there. I went over there one Sunday and got them out of there. So they're in the museum. So you know, wooden bricks. You know, I think maybe they were in there, so maybe they wouldn't be as slick as clay bricks. So anyway, we do have those over there, but we have a lot of neat things in the exhibit in the museum. And there are things in there that you'll never see again anywhere. You wouldn't even hardly see them in the Smithsonian. And we have some really neat exhibits. But
how are you able to get some of those that are so unique? How are you able to acquire those?
Well, I've been relentless in my search for some of these things. I mean, for instance, we have a display of stairs from Union Station in Chicago, marble stairs. We're the only people that got any of them. There were 49 crates of these stairs down in the basement of Union Station, and I knew they were down there. Now there are only 48 crates because I managed to get one of the crates out there.
There you go.
I mean, so, you know, I don't let up. The other thing we have, the oldest thing you'll ever see in railroading, it's a marble called a sleeper stone. Came from the Baltimore area. They use them over in England to begin with, and then they use them in here in this country for a while. And anyway, it didn't work so well over here because the tracks would heave. But this stone was used for, they used them for 3 or 4 years around the Baltimore area. And this particular marble stone came from a mine called the Texas Mine near Timonium, Maryland, the same mine that got the stone for the Washington Monument. So that's kind of neat.
That's cool.
Yeah. The other thing we have, about 5 years ago, a gentleman came to the museum just like anybody else, and he gave me his card. And after he left, I looked at that card, and he is Senior Vice President of MTA, Metropolitan Transit Authority, in New York City. His address is 2 Broadway. I said, 2 Broadway. It was unbelievable. So I called him about 3 years ago and said, we'd like to do an exhibit on Grand Central. Grand Central Terminal is in New York City. It's the most beautiful station in the world and the largest station in the world. This year, 1 million people went through. 1 million people went through it in one day.
Oh, wow.
But, only about 800,000 went through it. But he said, come out to the city and I'll have some things for you. So we went out and we went right into the parking area, which is highly restricted. But he is so far up the ladder. He's fourth man on MTA, and they have 70,000 employees. But so he had some things for us, some grates and some ironwork and a window and several other things. So we made an exhibit out of it. So it's really neat, really worth seeing. So those are just some of the things that we have in the museum.
I'm curious, you've talked about how far away, and again, I should let folks know that we are speaking with president of the Linden Depot Museum, Gary Vierk, this morning on Party Line. And I'm wondering, you've talked about things that have come from far away. What is the farthest away piece that you've been able to acquire? How did you, you know, hook up with it? You talked about England a little bit and some of the other locations just here in the States, but what's the farthest away piece that you've been able to get?
Oh, gee, we have things from all over the country. I mean, just it's surprising how people manage to acquire some of these things. It's beyond me, but, it doesn't matter because that's a small perk for working on the railroad. If you worked on a railroad and you got a ladder, believe me, that's a small perk because railroading was a dangerous business. It's still dangerous today. I mean, you can't make any mistakes when you're out there. And years ago, there were a lot of accidents. So anyway, people bring these things in, and another way we get things. A husband, he might have collected things over the years, railroad stuff. He's got them under his bed or in the garage. When he dies, his wife can't get it out of there fast enough. He said, I don't know what it is, but I want it out of there. So here she drops it off, said, here, you take this. I got to go get him buried.
Well, I was going to ask, actually, do you accept donations from folks like that, just pieces? Do they need to call you? How does that work?
No, we never turn anything down. I mean, no, because you just don't know what might be there in a box. And some people leave things anonymously right at the museum. I mean, a few years back, there were 10... coffee cans full of date nails, and about 3,000 date nails. They were left at the door, and luckily I got there before somebody else got them. About 3,000 date nails, and anyway, that's just one of the items that has been delivered. But I say the museum, it's just you don't see too many of them that are in an original state like this. It's on the National Historic Register. And we've kept it up well. It takes a lot of maintenance on a wooden structure, but it's very solid. So that's what's in there. We're going to have a lot of food there for you also. So now, in addition, if you walk down to the sidewalk to the other building, there's a steam engine out there. It's a replica of an 1837 steam engine. And I'm not bragging, I'm complaining, but I built it. I mean, nobody could build a steam engine. Took me 4.5 years. It's exactly the size.
Oh, my goodness.
There are two other ones in the country, and ours is by far the best one. And it operates on hydraulic. We run it during our Midwest Railroad Fair each year, and this year we ran it 5 times. And we have 2 coaches. We had 6 people on each coach, and a narrator and a conductor, and then we had a fireman and an engineer up on the engine. So it's kind of neat to see. So when you get down to the other end of the complex, we have a building that's dedicated to model railroad. I mean, I don't consider it a model railroad. It's an attraction, and it's just so kid friendly. I mean, 90% of the people come through the door and say, "Wow, it's circus oriented." And I say it's circus oriented because Indiana was a big circus state. One time it was the biggest. And Emmett Kelly, the most famous clown in the world, buried in Lafayette, considered Lafayette his home. He buried there along with his sister and his mother. And Peru, which is just north of Lafayette, was the winter quarters for the circuses. So they like us up there, and because of our connection with Emmett. So I'm able to get things from him. So I have a circus performer's trunk in there, a clown car, a wagon wheel, an elephant stand, an elephant blanket, chair seats from the Hagenbeck Wallace Circus, a 24-piece collection of Emmett Kelly lithographs, and it's just very, very exciting to see. In addition, we have something up there that I would say 99% of the people that are listening right now have never seen before. Okay. American HO model railroad, they run on 12-volt 2-rail DC. Okay. European runs on 12-volt 3-rail AC. Okay, a little bit different. about 6 years ago, a lady came in and she donated $35,000 worth of European model railroad equipment, including 250 brand new engines.
Wow.
That's fabulous. So I built an engine, a layout, so just to showcase this equipment. The technology over there is just far exceeds ours, and it's just so beautiful. So anyway, that's in there also, kind of a hidden gem we have in there. So the whole complex is just, it gets better all the time. I mean, I never let up. It's not a museum where you come in once and you don't have to come back again. You come back 2 months later, and there's going to be something else added to the museum. That's just kind of the way we operate.
Gary Vierke is the president of the Linden Depot Museum. He's our guest on Party Line today, and I'm questioning, you know, when you said you built that engine, first of all, did you think it would take 4 years to build? And when you started, did you ask yourself once you got into it, what have I done? What have I got myself into?
Well, when I got about halfway through it, I thought, oh, gee, I can't. What am I going to do? I can't quit now. I mean, I built it from the ground up. I mean, I had the wheels fabricated in Lafayette here, and they were delivered out there and put on the track, and I started building from there up. And I just kept at it. I had 50 books that I used.
Drew
on this to get it right. And it is right to scale, right to the inch in size. And this engine was considered the best engine in the world at the time it was built. It was built for the B&O Railroad. William Norris built this engine in Philadelphia. And in addition, B&O Railroad liked them, so they ordered eight of them. So ours is the first one of eight, called the Lafayette, and first one of eight. And it's right, like I say, right to size. I mean, to get the wheels fabricated, or that was a treat, you know. Old friend of mine, Ed Snyder, high school buddy of mine, Ed Snyder, he had Snyder sheet metal, and he fabricated the wheels for me. So just did a real perfect job. So and it runs real well. It runs 27 feet a minute.
Oh, wow.
It's just a slow train up and back. That's all it does. And it doesn't go too far, but at least you get a chance to experience what it's like to ride on this train. Now, we only run it during our Christmas fair in the summertime, but you can get out there and see it now. So these are just some of the things that you can see. It's just a fun place. And, you know, you don't have to go to Lafayette and go to the mall where there's thousands of people. You can come there and just sit around there, enjoy it, talk, tell us your stories, eat, and look at our exhibits. It's just parking is always available. So it's just a fun place to be, and it's all free.
Well, railroad is such a history in our country. I'm sure you have had people come in and just sit and tell story after story. That has to be part of the cool experience, I would think.
Oh yes. I mean, there are stories you wouldn't believe. I mean, see, Indiana was a big railroad state, and a lot of people come in there. They have a relative that works on the railroad. I'd say 75% of the people come in there had a relative that worked on the railroad. I mean, it was just, that was the biggest industry back during those days. And Lafayette and Frankfort, I mean, they were big railroad cities.
Yes.
Frankfort especially. I mean, it was a nickel plate railroad, I mean, and Monon. And it was it was really it was a hub for nickel plate nickel plate railroad. And you know, I get things from there all the time, and I get things from all over the state all the time. And about every week, we're like a Goodwill station. They bring it, instead of going to Goodwill, they bring it to the museum. But I never turn it down, because I say, I don't know what, I might not know, I don't know what might be in the bottom of the box, you know. So I go through it, and if there's something that we can use, that we can keep, I do it. If it's something that we can't use, and then we'll sell it, you know. That's in the donation form, you know, so we're not doing anything wrong by that. But That's what we did.
When I was a little girl, I used to love and sit at an intersection while my parents were driving and just watch the cars go by. But my favorite part was always the caboose. What happened to the caboose?
Oh, gee, well, that was kind of a labor problem. They put a light on the back of it, and they just didn't need it anymore as time went on. In those days, the conductor, he rode in the caboose, and the conductor, even today, the conductor is the boss of the train, not the engineer. The engineer takes his orders from the conductor, and they rode back there, and then when they would get so far and then would deadhead back, that crew would sleep in that caboose till they got back again, and a new crew was on the train, so it served a lot of purposes, that conductor could see up to the front of the train, and he would signal the engineer if the engineer needed to stop or not. So it was, but it's not used anymore. You know?
Yeah, I used to think it'd be fun to ride in the caboose when I was a kid. It just looked like such fun. I'm curious, why do you think our country, you know, there are some countries that have really made trains and rail a huge part of their transportation within their countries, and some of these trains go really, really fast. Why do you think that we really haven't embraced that as much as some other countries have? You were talking earlier about how it's so technical now, and some of the trains go so quickly, and I mean, some of them go underwater now, and I'm wondering why we haven't embraced it as much.
Well, it's strange. I mean, I understand, but you got the Northeast corridor of the United States, that is highly train oriented for commuter service, but you get out here, you know, the track from Chicago to New York City, Amtrak runs 3 days a week on there. But you get 50 mile or 30 mile on either side of that track, and they could care less about that train. It's not a mode of travel that we need now. But Amtrak is doing well. This year they've had more ridership than they ever had in the history of Amtrak. So it's coming along. Now, I ride the train all the time over the country. About every other weekend, I go to Chicago. A real nice ride. I spend time in Union Station in Chicago, a beautiful, beautiful station. And in the summertime, I take the water taxi down to Navy Pier and just spend the day there. But I ride out to California all the time. I just almost commute to California. I go out there and I go for the ride, not the destination. It's just, how big this country is, and so you get on that train and start across the country. I mean, it is unbelievable. Sometimes there are 50. You go 50 miles between houses, like 50 miles. You know, unbelievable.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It is coming along a little better right now. It's been a lot of money poured into Amtrak, and it's doing better.
Well, that is what I would love to do, that, to take a rail. And then it's the best part is you don't have to drive, so you can enjoy the view. And that appeals to me a lot. That's on my bucket list, to take a cross-country rail tour.
Oh, yeah. All you have to do is be there 15 minutes before the train leaves. And not like a plane.
Especially now where you have to get there 3 hours or more in advance. You're right.
Yeah.
Gary Vierk is president of the Linden Depot Museum. He is our guest on Party Line, and we're getting close on time. But I wanted to give you a chance to tell folks about the Holiday Open House, when it starts, what the hours will be, the days of the week that it's running. Tell us about that real quick.
Okay, we will be open from Thanksgiving weekend through New Year's weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, from noon to 5. It's all free, and it's all decorated and ready for you. So come over and spend your time there. I mean, we have a gift shop, fantastic gift shop, really some nice things in there for adults and children. And you might as well buy it there as to go to the mall and try to find something. So it's just it's just a fun place for children and adults.
Well, we're always looking for unique gifts, and so that seems like, and shop local, so this kind of fits both of those. And the annual ornament, you said, is just $10. Did I hear you correctly on that?
Right, $10 donation, and the ornament this year, it has a light, a battery in it, and it lights up, so it's kind of a neat one. But, this is the 16th year, and we have this different ornament every year, and the display in the museum is different every year. I've had a completely different display for 16 years. This year it is even it's completely different. So it's well worth seeing.
Now, if somebody's not able to make it out, we have a lot of listeners that maybe are over at Wesley Manor or, you know, another facility, but they would like to make a donation because you're right. There are a lot of people here locally that have worked on the railroad and have some connection to it. Maybe they'd like to just make a donation. How can they do that?
Well, that happens all the time. I mean, I got a $1,000 donation about 3 weeks ago, which is kind of neat. Our address is P.O. Box 154, Linden, 47955, Linden Depot Museum. Just make it out and favor to the Linden Depot Museum. Or you can bring it over to me, have somebody bring it over to the museum, anytime. That's one way. I mean, I'll be willing to drive over to Frankfort if that's what's needed. I live here in West Lafayette, so it's not a problem. That's what you got to do. Not a problem.
Well, Gary, it has been a pleasure speaking with you, and I'm determined to get over to the museum this year on the inside. I've driven by and checked it out, but I haven't had a chance to get on the inside yet, and that is also on my bucket list, and my grandson's coming in, so I'm hoping to sneak over and check out the museum this year once you guys are open. So again, folks, it is free, noon to 5, Thanksgiving weekend through New Year's. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday they're open, and the annual ornament is just $10. Gary, thank you so much. You are such a wealth of information. It's always fun to talk to you and hear the stories about not only the museum, but the things that you've seen over time and acquired as well. So we appreciate your knowledge and what you're doing over there.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed being on the air with you, and we look forward to a lot of Frankfort people coming over.
Oh, we like that. Thank you so much. You have a great day.
Thank you.
Take care. Gary Vierk, president of the Linden Depot Museum, opening up for the holidays here, and they do put the lights out there, and that part's really cool as well.
But I
haven't been inside yet, so that is on my bucket list to absolutely do. Before we have Laura on here, just a couple of things. The Mulberry United Methodist Church is having their chili supper. That's coming up on Saturday. They're serving from 4:30 until 7, or they run out. And by the way, takeout is available, and they'll have several varieties of chili. You'll also have a chance to vote for your favorite. Are you a chili eater?
I am. My wife's chili.
Beans or no beans?
She puts beans in there. I prefer without beans. But
she's trying to make you healthy whether you want it or not.
I just move the beans around to the corner and eat the rest of it.
I had a feeling that you were going to say that. And so adults are just $6, believe it or not. Children 5 through 12 are $4. Under 5 are free. And they accept credit and debit cards as well. And so that is coming up on Saturday. Mulberry United Methodist Church is having their chili supper. Also, I know that we talked to Rachel a couple of weeks ago from the Delphi Opera House. And don't forget that they're having their White Christmas. That's happening again this weekend, the 21st and 22nd. Also, talking of Thanksgiving, if you would like to kickstart your Thanksgiving, you can participate in a morning 5K runner walk.
Turkey Trot.
Turkey Trot. This is at Clinton Central. It starts at 8:30, and it's all for a great cause. For $25, you'll receive a long sleeve shirt and help support the Michigan Town Food Pantry. If you would like information on how to join the 5K that morning, you can contact us here at the station. It's an email, and it's one of those school ones, so it's kind of long because it has the .K12, all that business. But if you're interested, call us here after the show, 659-3338.
Two types of families. There's the families that do the turkey trot and the families that don't, and you always marry into the other one.
No, not me. None of us did, and neither did they.
I married into the turkey trot family.
Oh, so are you doing a turkey trot?
Thankfully, since I have to work Wednesday night, we're not going to be up in time, so gladly did not have to.
This is the only time you're happy about working late, right?
Right, exactly.
Also, speaking of Thanksgiving, don't forget that the Thanksgiving dinner at the Frankfort Neighborhood Center is happening, and they are still taking donations, which you can take there, or you can just honestly, well, you can't take them there. Really, you need to take them to the Farmers Bank if you would like to donate to the community Thanksgiving dinner, and that is on Thanksgiving Day, and that's at the Frankfort Neighborhood Center, 259 South 3rd Street. However, if you would like home delivery, you need to get a hold of Aaron. And that number is 765-650-6926. And if you would like to volunteer, we would need you to talk to Chris Leslie. And I have that number as well. Again, if you have questions, call us after the show here. And contributions, again, can me take those to the Farmers Bank for the dinner. Also coming up this weekend, Saturday, is the Flora Community Club's Holiday Craft Market. Woot woot. 9 o'clock until 2, free entry. This was a big one, too, folks. Breakfast and lunch will be served by the Carol Music Boosters. You can get pictures with Santa, and they will have two full buildings. They have over 60 vendors that will be there this coming Saturday. So two buildings. It's at the Flora Fairgrounds, although they call the buildings something different, but I just say it's at the fairgrounds. And then also the Boone County Extension Homemakers is having a holiday bazaar on Saturday. That's from 9 o'clock until 4, and that is at the Boone County 4-H Fairgrounds. So all kinds of chances for you not to cook this weekend and to really get into the holiday shopping and get Christmas pictures with Santa and all of that as well.
There you go.
All right, let's take a break. We're hoping Laura Archibald will be joining us here momentarily. You're listening to Party Line on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7.